There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Right now, though, we're going to cross over to London and catch up with Catherine Drew. Catherine, we're going to start off with some news that sort of broke today. Yulia Skripal, a name we've all become quite familiar with, has left hospital and, of course, has gone into a safe location, which nobody is disclosing.
That's right, yes, a really quite remarkable recovery in just the past few weeks. We heard a couple of weeks ago that she was conscious, that she'd woken up, that she was eating, and then here we are just a couple of weeks later, after 5 weeks of intensive therapy, of course, treatment in Salisbury Hospital. She has been discharged and taken to a secure location. We don't know too much more than that. The doctor, the medical director at the hospital, said that this is a landmark, but of course her treatment will continue. And she also said that Sergei Skripal is recovering well and he is expected to be released in due course. So from a couple of weeks ago when both were unconscious and in a coma and things did not look great, obviously, they both are recovering very nicely, particularly at Yulia Skripal. I think we can anticipate that she is at some point will be speaking to British authorities. Obviously, investigators will be asking her about the incident and trying to find out as much detail as she can tell them.
Catherine, can we ask you about industrial action? We've seen industrial action affecting, in particular, the railways in France over the last week or so. That is set to continue. We're now seeing industrial action grounding German and French flights.
Yes, certainly not a great day to be travelling if you're in Germany or France. In Germany, Lufthansa has been forced to cancel half of its flights. That's 800 flights because of a walkout by public sector workers. The stoppages is enforced in Frankfurt, Munich, Cologne, Bremen airports, so four of the major airports. Air France is also experiencing some disruption because of some industrial action that was seen at the weekend, and I believe only three-quarters of their flights are in operation. This is all to do with workers demanding more money. Air France workers want a 6% pay rise. A similar figure is wanted by public sector workers in Germany. So, yes, this sort of spring, if you like, of industrial action across Europe does continue.
And, Catherine, Bill Clinton, the US president, is attending Belfast, and he's one of the dignitaries there on the 20th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. Hard to believe that was 20 years ago, and hard to believe I'm able to remember it so clearly.
It is. It's a real reunion for many of the leading figures. Former U.S. Senator George Mitchell is there. Bertie Ahern, who was the Taoiseach at the time, of course. Former Prime Minister Tony Blair and Bill Clinton, who, of course, perhaps the star name in that gathering. But they have been talking about the progress made in that 20 years and lauding that agreement. But, of course, warning that it is very fragile. Northern Ireland's Assembly has been without a functioning government for the past 18 months or so because of deep rifts between Sinn Féin and the DUP. There's also, of course, concern about the Good Friday Agreement with the upcoming Brexit deal because nobody has been able to work out how you could have a border between Europe and a former member of Europe without having an actual physical border. And many people saying that that puts the Good Friday Agreement under threat. So a time, I think, for many people to sort of, including Bill Clinton, to reiterate just how fragile that peace process is.
Catherine, can I ask you one final question, a story that you are following? It's long been thought that it's an unsustainable resource, but you've seen a UK supermarket, Iceland Today, banning palm oil in its products from very, very soon. Tell us the details of that.
That's right. Well, Iceland is really, and perhaps surprisingly, leading the way. It just recently unveiled some major developments in relation to packaging and not using plastic. Now it's come out today and said that it's going to stop using palm oil in its own branded products by the end of this year. Now, there will still be palm oil in other products, which it cannot control. But Iceland is saying that even though some people say you can make palm oil in a sustainable way, they're saying that is not true. And it's devastating tropical rainforests. rainforests across Southeast Asia, and particularly, you know, harmful to those areas. So, yes, they're pushing ahead with this. And, of course, the big question will be whether those other supermarkets, on the high street follow suit. But certainly has been very welcomed by campaigners such as Greenpeace as really, you know, quite a marker and something of a marker for other supermarkets to follow.
Catherine Drew in London, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
It's interesting that, isn't it? Very. I'm just looking through palm oil, and all I know, it's cheap and it's mass-produced. It's versatile. You can find it in loads and loads of products. You'll find it in soap, detergent. It's found in chocolate. It's found in biscuit. All sorts of things.
I think just for context as well, for people perhaps unfamiliar with Iceland as a supermarket in the UK, it wouldn't necessarily be seen as one of the supermarkets who are always pushing the boundary in terms of change. And
it's in many ways, it's a budget.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't
so
it? Yeah.
It's just interesting to get that context behind the move that they've made too. So yeah, really interesting news. I was really interested in the Good Friday Agreement, what Catherine was saying there about just how fractious it is in Northern Ireland. Obviously, I lived there for a really long time, and it's true. Obviously, it's a cause for celebration, 20 years since a big change. But it's not in a great place at the moment.
It is very fragile. We talked to George Mitchell on this programme. I don't know. It's one of those standout moments, maybe 4 years ago, and got to sit down with him. And there are so many different factions vying for power in Northern Ireland, vying for recognition. There are so many, and it's an emotional situation as much as it's a religious divide, a cultural divide, and everything else. We understand the background to that. But I said to him at one point, how was it when you got everybody in the room? Because it must have been so difficult. And he can't go on record and say this, but it was really, really difficult. And there were times when it was, I just can't see an end to this. But of course, they got there, and they got an agreement.
They got an agreement. For 18 months, they've had no agreement in Northern Ireland
right.
No government there. So, yes, let's hope things do change. And maybe this sort of brings back memories of collaboration, might inspire them to get on a bit better 20 years on.
Possibly.
Let's see.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.